Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we lift up our hearts to you during this hour, dear Lord, and we ask for your presence to come to be with us so that we may see you in a new light this day, Lord. Come touch us by your special touch, your healing touch, your saving touch, Lord. Give us a message, give us a word, give us something that will make us feel, that will bring us closer in our relationship with you. Lord, we love you and we dedicate our entire lives to you, and we really pray that you would open our hearts to hear your word this day. Through our Lord, our God, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, guys, today we have a special treat, okay? So we have the graduate retreat this weekend, so a lot of people are out of town, but we wanted to do something special for the people who are in town. So today we have a special guest speaker, okay? And I'm not going to say much about him, but I will say this, okay? He's one of the few people, and he doesn't like it when I say this, and he denies it, but this is a true fact. He's one of the few people in my life that I can say is a mentor to me, and I learned a lot from him, and who I am is in a lot of ways, even though he doesn't know, based on a lot of stuff that I learned from him. So I asked him to come speak to us today. He's got a very relevant, seasonal topic for us. So with that, give a big hand to Dr. Fahim Sadiq. Give a big hand. Make him feel welcome.
Give me your hand. I didn't know that I am such a high commodity. The name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is a very special time of the year for the church, which we call the month of Kiyak, or the month of Saint Mary. As you see the topic today, there is no one like her. There's no one like Saint Mary. And we will see today why, and we will address two topics. The first one is the virtues of Saint Mary and how she became the person she is. And then in the second half of the talk, we will talk about how the church describes Saint Mary and the impact of that in our spiritual life. Just to understand who Saint Mary is and her position in the church, we'll go to the far end of the New Testament, to the book of Revelation, and we will see what Saint John, the beloved, saw in heaven. In chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, he says, describing to us what he saw, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Now, when our fathers came across this revelation, they told us that that woman in heaven is Saint Mary. And the Son of Righteousness, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And under her feet is the moon. And the moon here is Saint John the Baptist, who was described by Christ to be the greatest ever. Now, picture this. He's saying that that woman is on a higher level than the moon, who is John the Baptist, who is the greatest person born of a woman. It gives us an idea about the position of Saint Mary according to what Saint John saw in heaven, that she is even higher than Saint John the Baptist. And her head a garland of 12 stars. Those 12 stars are the 12 disciples. Then, being with a child, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. This is the virginal birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verses 3 and 4, they speak about the devil not being silent when this is happening. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Clearly, when the devil saw that this lady is giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't happy, and he was trying to do whatever it takes to interrupt the process of salvation which this Son is about to bring to us. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. But that lady, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Very clearly talking about our Lord Jesus Christ and his mother. It gives us an idea about the position and location of Saint Mary in heaven. Why is Saint Mary that special? Why does the church put Saint Mary in a higher rank than all the martyrs, all the saints, even Saint John the Baptist, and on top of all that, all the angels, the archangels, and all the heavenly hosts? Why would we rank Saint Mary above all these? You know why? It's something that has to do a lot with our spiritual life. Through the incarnation of God's Son in the holy womb of Saint Mary, it brought us hope, and it brought us a new meaning for our life, that instead of God just being away from us in heaven, now God can be united in us. This is the hope that we got through Saint Mary, that God can be united with humans. That's a complete departure from what happened before in the Old Testament, that God is heaven, God is feared by everyone, God doesn't have much connection with the people here on earth. But through Saint Mary and the incarnation, the fact that she was able to conceive the Lord himself in her womb, it gave us the opportunity to be united in God. The fathers of the church, when they talked about this, they said that we, all the humans, all of us, were hidden in Saint Mary while she conceived the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? It means that through Saint Mary, we now have an opportunity to be united with God. She was the only person on the face of the earth to give us this opportunity. This is why Saint Mary carries a very special place in our church, because through her, it gives us a new opportunity, a new hope, and a new promise that we can be united with God. We'll go through her life very quickly and discuss why she was that special. I'll tell you something some of the fathers used to say. In the scriptures, we always say that Christ came at the fullness of age. And a lot of people were trying to understand what's the meaning of the fullness of time or the fullness of age. Especially the time from Adam till Christ was thousands of years. So why Christ waited that long so that he would come and he would be incarnate at that particular time? Some fathers, they venture to say that it's because he was trying to find someone with the qualities of Saint Mary. Believe it or not, that God was looking for someone to be his mother with the qualities of Saint Mary. And we'll see why. First of all, she lived a life of complete submission. A life of complete submission. Remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to her to give her the announcement, or the what we call the annunciation, about the incarnation of our Lord. About that time, she was about 12 to 14 years old, as all the fathers of the church agree. Now, picture this. As a young child, she probably had plans for her life. Maybe she thought that one day she will be married, she will walk down the aisle in a white dress and all the zagarit and all the stuff surrounding her. That's possible. Maybe later, when her spiritual life evolved and she became a deep spiritual person, she thought, yeah, I'd love to have a family, a husband and a child. And probably in the back of her mind, the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who sent Samuel to the temple to serve, she probably thought that, yeah, I'd love to have a family and a child and a husband, and I'll send that child to serve God in the temple. It's possible. And later, when she joined the temple and her life was all the time in the temple, she might thought that I would like to devote my life to the Lord. I would love to live as a virgin for the rest of my life and live my life quietly, peacefully. Nobody knows about me, and that would be the end of my life. I'm sure that she had a certain plan for her life. But once upon a time, out of nowhere, the angel would appear to her and talk to her about her coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this. We always talk about St. Mary and glorify St. Mary and we speak highly of her. But for her, that announcement was by no means an easy thing. Number one, immediately after that, she will be falsely accused by everyone, including Joseph, that she might have committed adultery. After giving birth of Jesus Christ, the angel would appear to them, take your stuff and go to Egypt. Egypt? I've never been to Egypt. I don't know anybody there. Once they start to get comfortable in Egypt, go back to Nazareth. Her child will be treated very badly by his people all the way to the death on the cross. So by no means the option that came to her on that day was an easy thing. But the only answer that she had, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Who can say that? Who can say that nowadays? You know, I was thinking when I was reading this, if it was me, I would have told the angel, yeah, it's a good plan, but let me wait until I finish my studies. Maybe in few years, or how about this? Why don't I get married first, and then we do the whole story and the conception with the Holy Spirit and all this stuff? Because I want to protect my reputation. But she said none of this. And of course, the easy answer is, no, no, I don't want to do it. It's not me. It's not for me. But her only answer was, let it be to me according to your word. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. It actually reflects a lot on our lives. And I'm not going to talk about big things, like God would appear to you and say to you, leave everything and go to the monastery. I will talk about very small things. I'm sure that everyone, like St. Mary, has a plan for his life. I will wake up at 7:30 in the morning. I will drink my tea, and have breakfast and go to work and then come back and watch TV for a couple of hours and then go to bed. This is my plan. And then I come to Abuna, and Abuna tells me, no, I mean, I would like for you to take your quiet time in the morning. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. I have my way set. See how difficult it is for us to submit to God's word, but for St. Mary, it was a simple decision. Whatever you say, God. Life of humility. After she heard the announcement from the angel, this is the praise that she gave. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Listen to this. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. This is how she describes herself. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. She realized that from that point on, all generations till the end of ages will be talking about her and glorifying her name. But she is still talking about herself as the lowly state of his maidservant. And you know why? Because of the next verse. She realized that every great thing that's going to happen to her is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. My beloved, this is the meaning of life of humility. It's not like, I'm weak. I can't do anything. I'm sinful. This is not the life of humility. This is a life of inferiority. Life is humility is here. That all generations will be blessing me, will be glorifying me. But it's not because of me. It's because of of Him. I am strong. I am blessed. I have too many talents. God blessed me with too many things. But it's all because of Him. This is what we call the life of humility. And she lived that very clearly. She realized that very clearly, as will appear in the next part of his life, which is a life of service. A life of service. Once she heard that, and she knew, she heard the announcement about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and she knew at the same time that Elizabeth, her relative, is also pregnant with St. John the Baptist. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. What was St. Mary doing at Elizabeth's house for 3 months? Remember, Elizabeth was about like the age of her grandmother, and she was pregnant. So she needed somebody to help with the house. She needed somebody to clean the house. She needed somebody to prepare the food for her husband. And St. Mary was there doing that. Now, remember this. If we are talking about ranks, who is the higher rank? Elizabeth or St. Mary? Of course. I am the mother of the Lord. She is just the mother of John the Baptist. Then I deserve to stay home, and Elizabeth is the one that would come and serve me. But that wasn't St. Mary. Another example of her humility and how she lived a life of service. By the way, the distance from the temple in Jerusalem to the city of Judah where Elizabeth and Zacharias used to live is about 30 hours. It wasn't like she would start her SUV and drive for half an hour. It was 30 hours of walking or riding on an animal. 30 hours just to reach there. And remember, 30 hours, and she was already pregnant. It was in the early stages of her pregnancy. The very famous miracle that our Lord did, which was the first one, turning the water into wine. The people, they ran out of wine, so they ran to St. Mary, and St. Mary went to Jesus and asked him to intervene. And then she came back to the servants and said, whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. And I imagine that she said it with strength and with power, because this was her life. Whenever God told her to do something, just do it. I am your maidservant. I will do it. And this is what she did here. We always take this story as an example of her intercession. Here, it gives us a new dimension for the intercession of St. Mary. It's not the, we'll talk about it later in the talk, about intercession, but intercession is not about going to St. Mary or to Pope Kyrollos or Marimina and say, I have this problem, please solve it for me. That's just a teeny little part of it. But the bigger picture is we get into a fellowship with the saints, and through this fellowship, they guide us to obey God and to be in communion with God. And this is what she did. Remember, this particular miracle is very important, and this is why Christ started his ministry with this one. This miracle is not just turning wine and water into wine just to make people happy. It's about a change of nature. Water is H2O. Wine is a completely different material, completely different substance. So Christ was trying to tell to the people, I am here. I'm here to start my mission and my ministry by changing your nature. The nature that has been spoiled by sin, I'm here to change that. I am here to renew your lives and give your life a new meaning. So it is as if St. Mary is telling the people that you have to obey and listen to God's words in order for you to get this change of nature. Her life was a life of service and for the ultimate goal of changing our lives. So far we spoke about life of submission. who can remember? Humility, service, and now we'll talk about a silent life. Which is, by the way, a very hard one to find nowadays. Life of silence. When we read the Gospel of St. Matthew, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to John, to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that after she was pregnant, according to what the angel told her, she did not tell anybody about her pregnancy and about what the angel told her, even to the closest people. Okay? Of course, that would put her in a lot of trouble, and according to the Jewish laws, she might be killed because of that. Because if she is accused of committing adultery, she would deserve death. Now, after the birth of Jesus Christ, we read this in the Gospel of St. Luke. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, speaking about Jesus, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. She kept everything in her heart. I will tell you this. I am sure that St. Mary knew a lot beyond any of us knows anything in this world. There's no question in my mind. Imagine this. She was 24/7 with Jesus Christ. What they were doing? Were they gossiping about the neighbors next door? Of course not. Christ is all. I'll tell you this. I attended a sermon once, and I will never forget this sermon, ever. The speaker was imagining a conversation between our Lord Jesus Christ and Saint Mary. What would the discussion be like? And the discussion would go something like that. They would, for example, reading from the scriptures, they would be reading about the burning bush. So they were reading, and she would ask him, "What does this mean?" "This means you." "Me? How can this happen?" So he would explain to her all the prophecies of the Old Testament about the incarnation and about the fire that the bush is burning, and it's not consumed by this fire. "Oh, so that's me. Okay. How about this, what Isaiah is saying? The virgin shall conceive and have a baby, and his name will be Emmanuel. What does this mean?" "Oh, again, it is you." I am sure that Christ spoke to her about a lot of mysteries and about a lot of secrets that till today the best theologians, the best scientists would be arguing about and fighting about, but she knew a lot. Better than any of one can imagine or understand. Talk about creation, talk about eternity, talk about the meaning of the incarnation, talking about the Trinity and the meaning of the Trinity and how God is three and one, and all those mysteries that we can be debating about forever. Clearly, she knew more than any of us can dream of knowing, but she kept everything in her heart. This probably was one of the best qualities in St. Mary, and this is why she was selected to be the Mother of God, that she doesn't talk much. You know, if that was me, I probably would have gone and established 13 websites and start talking about God and how God is incarnating from me, and she would have done a lot and thinking that she is doing God a favor by doing that. But she kept everything as a secret in her heart. If I get a promotion today, I probably will throw a party and talk to Egypt and talk to my friends and invite people over just because of a naive thing that happened to me. But she kept everything in her heart. How great she was. Life of a perfect mother. Let's go to Luke 2, 51 and 52. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them, subject to Saint Mary and Joseph. Now, let's talk about this because this is very important. And actually, this was a puzzle to a lot of the church fathers. It tells us here that Christ was subject to Saint Mary, which means that he was obedient to her. Whatever Saint Mary told him to do, he would obey. Do we agree? Now, put next to this sentence another sentence which says that Christ was sinless. Christ didn't commit any sin. Do we all agree? Now, if you put sentence A next to sentence B, it tells us one thing, that everything that Saint Mary asked him to do or ordered him to do was sinless, was immaculate. Because if she asked him to do something and this something is wrong, and Christ is obedient to her, then Christ would be committing a sin. And that never happened. The church fathers came in front of this verse and they were amazed. What kind of person is that? I don't want to give you the impression that she was sinless. No, Saint Mary was in need of salvation, similar to all of us. But it tells us that she was a perfect mother to the fathers and mothers in this room, in this chapel. Who can claim that you never said anything wrong to your child? Abuna. Oh, Mark. Good for you, man. I'll tell you, the church fathers were amazed in front of this fact. How could she do that? It's a mystery. It's a mystical thing. We don't know. But it tells us a lot about the quality of Saint Mary. As I mentioned, she was with Christ 24/7. She was with Christ 24/7. We come to church and we hear Abuna the saying that we should pray like in the morning and before we go to sleep, and we hear that we should pray the seven Agbaya prayers and stuff. And if somebody just prays twice from the Agbaya, he would consider himself to be the saint of the 21st or the 22nd century or whatever. But Saint Mary, her life was a prayer. Because what's the meaning of prayer? Speaking to God. Speaking to God. And she was in connection with him, in contact with him 24/7. As some of the church fathers say, that even after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, she remained united with him. We always think that Christ was united with Saint Mary only during those 9 months in which he was in the womb. But that connection was never broken even after that birth. The Lord dwelt in her heart and inside her forever. Forever. Finally, as another sign of greatness and uniqueness, her life was a life of suffering and endurance. And I'm not just talking about the cross. The fact that after she became pregnant, a lot of people thought badly of her. It's the worst thing to be falsely accused of something and you are innocent of it. She endured that. The fact that she had to take her young family and travel all the way to Egypt in a very dangerous road for so many days until they were able to reach their destination, it tells you how much she endured. Once they start settling down there, go back to Nazareth. You know, even during the life of Jesus Christ, it wasn't an easy thing for her. For the parents who are sitting here, you always would love to see your child better than you. You always love to see them happy. They have good and decent jobs. They have their own family. But Christ wasn't like that. He even didn't have a place for himself to be comfortable, and he didn't have a job. He was rejected by most of his people. He was accused of being crazy or a madman. He was kicked out of the synagogue. Imagine that your son or your daughter is excommunicated from the church. Not only that, anybody who confessed that Christ is the Lord would be also excommunicated from the synagogue. Imagine that your son, your only son, is being kicked out from the church or from whatever community he is in. How do you feel about that? This is why when she went early on to the temple and she saw Simon the elder, she heard this: a sword will pierce through your own soul. A sword will pierce you. Why, God, would you do that to her? She is your mother. She has accepted a lot of things that nobody would accept. Why does she have to live through this life of pain and suffering? And then at the end of all, in John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and many others. I wonder, you know, when I was watching the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, I came out of this movie saying the title of this talk: there is no one like St. Mary. I mean, we definitely agree that Christ accepted the ultimate pain, but I believe in my heart that the pain that she had to endure in that day is no less. Probably around the cross there were a lot of people and followers of Christ who loved him, but somehow maybe in the back of their minds they thought that at one point Christ will leave the cross and he will strike everybody who's standing there, and the high priests and the Romans and the soldiers and everybody else, except for St. Mary. The words of Simon the Elder were probably resonating in her head, that a sword will pierce through your soul. I wonder how she could take it that day. You know, last week Abuna Anthony was talking to us, and just because some kids told his son that go home, he was about to go and destroy that whole place. Abuna was furious. First time I see him furious. How about St. Mary? When she see all the hitting and the spitting and the piercing and the mocking and the cross, and how can she tolerate that? It's unbelievable. But she endured all that. The church actually, in the prayers of the ninth hour, reminds us with that. That when the mother saw the lamb and the shepherd, the savior of the world hanging on the cross, she said while weeping, "As for the Lord, it rejoices for receiving salvation." The whole world is rejoicing now because of this cross. But my story is different. But my heart is afire as I look at your crucifixion. I don't want to get much emotional about this, but clearly St. Mary endured a lot on that day. Endured a lot more than what we can imagine. This is why, as I mentioned early on, there is no one like St. Mary. There is no one like St. Mary. And God actually meant to give us the example of St. Mary so that we will learn from her life. God, Christ could easily have, if he decided to get incarnate and to be a man, he could have selected a millions of ways to do that, but he selected to put St. Mary as an example for us to follow. In fact, I would like to talk about a very important concept that we should live by. We always talk about the fellowship of the fellowship with the church, and the concept of the small groups that the Abunas always talk about is extremely important. But I would like to add to this the concept or the principle of fellowship with the saints. We have to establish this relationship with the saints. When we talk about the intercession of St. Mary and the intercession of the saints, we always think of it as I will go to the saint just to solve my problems. I am in trouble financially or at my work or at my family, then Yasetti Adra, just solve this problem for me. Just kill my boss who is harassing me day and night. That's fine, but the deeper meaning of intercession is to be in a fellowship with the saints. We learn from their life, and we take their life as an example for us. I'm challenging you today. All the great things we spoke about St. Mary, to take just one and ask her to work with you and to intercede on your behalf so that you would acquire this in your life. It might be the life of service, might be the life of silence and quietness, it might be the life of submission. You select whatever you want. But this is what we mean by the fellowship with the saint, with the saints, and asking for their intercessions. We don't have much time, but I would like to go and speak to you a little bit about the midnight praises that the church celebrates these days in relation to St. Mary and how great these praises are. And as I mentioned, that the church during this month devotes a lot of time to praising God and glorifying St. Mary at the same time for that very purpose, which is we would be in a fellowship with those saints. In this case, it is St. Mary and her life. I will be speaking about some of the symbols that the church gives to St. Mary and the implication to our life. And the implication here is for every symbol that we give to St. Mary and for every type we give to St. Mary, there is a promise to our spiritual life. Again, when we come and praise God and glorify St. Mary, it's not just about nice songs, but it always have a reflection on our lives. Let me start by saying this. Those of you who attend the 7 and 4 Kyak praises the past 2 weeks, I have been here. The church is awesome. The church is on fire. We do it here in this church, in this chapel, and the church is awesome. The church is on fire, and everybody is participating. I would dare to say this, that there is no strong spiritual life without practicing or participating in the tasbih. I know some of you will kill me now, but I do mean it. If you want to take your spiritual life to the next level, you have, and I stress this, you have to attend tasbih. We will always be in the elementary school level or junior high level without the tasbih. If you want to take your life to the master's level, to the PhD level, you have to attend tasbihah and to enjoy tasbih. And I do mean it. And Tasoni 2 weeks ago, she spoke about the midnight praises and its effect on our life. This is how we always do it. We are not consistent in our prayers. And whenever there is a problem, we start praying and asking God to solve this problem and ask for the intercession of the saints. I'll tell you, this will get us nowhere. Actually, when you learn how to participate in the tasbihah and practice tasbihah, you're not going to do the same requests again. Kill my boss and make the Redskins win and all this stuff. It's not... It will never going to happen, by the way, the Redskins will win. It will give your prayer a new meaning. It will give your prayer a new meaning. When the three saintly youths were in the midst of fire, they were not crying and saying to God, God, please get us out of here. God, please put off this fire, extinguish this fire. They didn't say that. What did they do? They created the third hose, which we sing during the tasbih. When St. Paul and Silas were in the prison, in the Roman prison, they were not crying to God and saying, get us out of here. Why are we here? We are serving you. And why does all this happen to us? They didn't say any of that. They were praising God. We need to learn how to praise God. It will elevate your minds. It will elevate our minds beyond all the problems and things that happen here. It will take your mind here. So there is no need to ask God to kill your boss or to solve your problems or to pay your bills. Your mind will be above all those things. Those things that happen here, they're fine. God will take care of them. But my mind is above. I wanted to start with that because I would love to see every one of us here in the church in the next 2 weeks. Not only in the next 2 weeks, but for the weeks to come after that. You will never regret it. You will come and thank me one day that I give you this advice. You will come and thank me. I can assure you, those of you who have experienced the tasbihah now in the church is amazing. There are too many people who are learning tasbihah and knowing about it more. Sometimes, like the deacons are standing here and the girls on this side, they are singing the tasbihah on their own. They don't need any guidance. Don't let this opportunity pass you by without taking advantage of it. The examples of St. Mary in this tasbihah, which you will come and attend in the next 2 weeks. The first one is the tabernacle. Long time ago, God wanted to establish a place so that the people would come and meet him. A place for him to dwell in. A place that he would find comfort in. And that place in the New Testament was St. Mary. So this is why in the Theotokia of Sunday, which we sing every Sunday and also during the month of Kiyak, we say, who can declare how honorable is the dome, which is the tabernacle of Moses, who made it at the Mount of Sinai. O Mary the Virgin, you are assimilated to the tabernacle. You are the true dome wherein God dwells. As I mentioned before, that every symbol of St. Mary, it has a promise for us. And the promise here is God, as he dwelt in St. Mary, he can dwell inside our hearts. He can find a place of comfort in our life. This is why I said early on in the talk that we are all hidden. We were all hidden in St. Mary during the process of incarnation. That the same God who dwelt in her womb can come today and dwell in our hearts. When you come to the tasbihah and sing this song, you ask God, fulfill this promise in me. Come and find a place of comfort in me. Similar to what you have done with St. Mary. We also call St. Mary in the tasbihah, we call her the Ark of Covenant. St. Mary is assimilated to the Ark of the Covenant, made of incorruptible wood, inlaid with gold inside and out. And you, Mary, also put on the glory of divinity inside and out. This is what happened to St. Mary. The Ark of Covenant, it had inside it the tablets that were written by the finger of God, by the hands of God, with the law of the Old Testament. Now, Christ is the law of the New Testament. So the promise that we get from here is, as the law of the New Testament, which is the word of the New Testament, which is Christ our Lord himself, was incarnate inside the womb of St. Mary, he can do the same in our heart. God, the God of the New Testament, can dwell inside your heart. Not only that, we can see here that the Ark of Covenant is made of incorruptible wood, wood that will never go bad, and also coated with gold inside and out. The glory of God can fill you in and out. Not just out, because sometimes we focus on the gold from the outside. But the promise of God that I will fill you with glory, with all what you need, with all what your heart desires, in and out. This is what we get when we magnify St. Mary, because everything that happened to her is promised to happen to us. On top of the Ark of Covenant, we had the cover, which we call the Seat of Mercy, and on top of it, there are two cherubims, like protecting the Ark and protecting the contents of it. So God's promise, and we also give the same to St. Mary, the cover of the Ark, God's promise is, I will protect you. I will protect you as I protected my mother. The pot, the golden pot of manna, or the vessel of manna. In the Old Testament, at one point, the Israelites were hungry, so God brought them the manna from above. And he told Moses that you have to eat from this, but I want you also to bring a pot and fill it with this manna. And this manna never got rotten or anything. And put it inside the tabernacle. Christ in the New Testament spoke about the manna, about himself being the manna of the New Testament. And whoever eats from this, from the manna, whoever ate from the manna died, but whoever eats from the bread of life that he is bringing will have everlasting life. St. Mary, this manna is a symbol of Christ, as Christ himself said in John 6. St. Mary here, she was the vessel in which Christ dwelt in. And the promise here that we get from the vessel of manna and the St. Mary being the vessel of the manna is that Christ can give us everlasting life. come and pray. And when you glorify St. Mary, you also ask God to give you this everlasting life. The golden lampstand, which was also part of the tabernacle, the lampstand that bears the ever-lightened lamp, he is the unapproachable light of the world. Light to everyone, light to everybody in the world, he is the Son of Righteousness whom you bore and who healed our sins. Christ is the light, and St. Mary is the lampstand who carried that light. For us, this means guidance and enlightenment. Guidance and enlightenment. A lot of symbols were given to St. Mary: the burning bush, Aaron's rod, Aaron's censer, Jacob's ladder, Noah's ark. A lot of symbols you will find in the Tasbihah, and I will leave these to you to figure out what's the relationship between this and St. Mary. But I will leave you today with two requests. Listen, if you are asleep, please. We spoke about a lot of virtues for St. Mary. I'm asking again, please, think of one and ask the intercession of St. Mary during this holy season that this virtue will be the light of your life. Whatever it may be, service, ministry, submission, humility, St. Mary can give us a lot from her life. We are all hidden in her. When we glorify her, we are telling her that you are the best example for a human being, and we would love to be like you. Second thing, let's all come to the Tasbihah with one unity and with one spirit of prayer. And for every symbol, we ask God to give us as he promised us. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Okay, so Fahim gave us all the inspiration there, so I'm expecting to see next Saturday this place packed with us. Thing is, I haven't come to the Saturday Tizbehas in Kiach because I'm away at the retreats on Saturday night. But the report that I hear back from the big boss is that there's not many people from our generation. It's usually like the old school guys who are usually here, and there's not much representation from this crowd, okay? So when y'all don't show up, it looks bad on me, and it's going to look bad on Fahim. So make me look good in front of my boss. So hopefully we can all give it a shot this coming Saturday, okay? And that's Saturday night, for those who don't know. It's Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. until about like 11 o'clock p.m. or something like that, okay? Yes, Allison. Yeah, it's half English, half Arabic. Yeah. The whole thing is like, if you've never attended Midnight Praises before, it's not like a liturgy. Like a liturgy, the priest stands up here, he does stuff, and then this and that. There's no like priest stuff in the praises. It's like two sides kind of going back and forth, okay? And half we do in English, and the other half we do in Arabic, okay? So it's what's the right word? More participation, okay? And less like, you know, like you're not responding as much as this half says and then this half says. And it's kind of... it's very like, it's catchy, okay? So yeah, at least 50% of it is in English, okay? 50%. Let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you. And we glorify you, dear Lord, and all your saints, as you commanded us, dear Lord, to glorify you and your saints. We thank you for the example of the Virgin that you have given to us. And we praise her for all that she did and for the life that she lived. And we pray that as Fahim was telling us, that we can establish this fellowship with the saints, and that we can learn from her life, and that we too can become a tabernacle for you, a dwelling place for the Most High, that you may overshadow us with all of your power and all of your might, and you may come be incarnate in our lives in a new way as we prepare to celebrate the Feast of your Nativity. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us, and thank you for your humility and your love, which is willing to come down and be incarnate in our weak selves and our dirty selves. Bless us with spiritual blessings this day, and accept the intercession of your mother for our sake. Accept the intercession of all of the saints who are up in the heavens, who are always praising you for our sake. And hear us as we pray with all thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.